Hello and welcome to This Nomad Life with Lee and Paul. I'm Lee, Minivan Lee, on YouTube and all other social platforms.
And I'm Paul. This is so much more than a podcast, Lee. It's an audio film, a documentary about life, including the nomad lifestyle that's sweeping America.
Hey friends, we have a fabulous, fun episode for you tonight.
So let's get started.
Hello everyone, welcome to This Nomad Life. I'm Lee, I'm Minivan Lee, on YouTube. Look me up, Minivan Lee, and please subscribe. I've got a lot of videos, 5 years a nomad. We've also got Paul here. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Lee. How you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Wonderful. I am too. We're actually recording this in the evening, and we just watched a beautiful sunset. We're in the beautiful Sonoran Desert outside of Quartzsite, Arizona, enjoying ourselves, enjoying the beautiful desert and all it has to offer. However, there is something we don't enjoy a great deal in the desert. Isn't that right, Lee?
Yeah, it was a windy day again. Again, it was a windy day. And it can really kind of take some of the joy away.
Well, it makes for if you like to spend time indoors, some people, the winds were forecast. I don't have a gauge to tell you exactly how strong the winds were, but I think they were forecast to be 15 to 20 miles an hour steady, and gusts up to 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, but yesterday it did not say that on any of the apps. It just came, it comes out of nowhere. So if you look ahead and during the week, you can't believe what it says.
No, that's for sure.
And we look at the temperature of the forecast, but we have learned to look at the wind forecast because that really determines how your day is going to go.
Absolutely. It makes a great deal of difference. I'll have to be honest, I don't like the wind. There's nothing you can do about it. It's invisible and it just keeps coming and coming, but it's going to be there occasionally. You can bet on it. In the wintertime, in the desert, it will be windy occasionally. Not every day, but occasionally it's going to happen.
And I'm going to mention the reason that you do want to deal with the wind safely and intelligently. The wind is going to carry dust with it. It's going to get into your hair, it's going to get on your skin, and it's going to sandblast your skin if you're out in it. So you want to make sure, we had fly problems today. The flies could not deal with the wind. And so they wanted to come in, we had to come in, and they wanted to come in also.
You bet.
And that was miserable. So the flies weren't even happy with it. So you have to, if you're going to be out in Arizona in the desert, you want to make sure you have proper hats and proper scarves for your face, because it will sandblast your face, your skin as well. And for you gals out there, I really want to, stay younger. If you're a nomad and you're a full-time nomad, if you don't take care of your skin within 2 years, oh dear, you can only imagine what can happen to your skin. So you have to take care of it. You really do.
It certainly will prematurely age your skin.
Exactly. And yeah. So
because of that, it's good to be prepared. And there is you're wearing what is that called?
A neck gaiter
that you can pull up over your face.
Exactly.
And in your YouTube videos, you've mentioned a item called a shemagh.
Yes, I have a shemagh. I got it at a army surplus store because the military wear them too. They're not just Arab scarves, although that is where they originated because they have the desert out there.
Sure.
But they can wrap it in such a way to cover their head. And then if you are out in the wind, you can take one of them and unwrap the side and then bring it around. But you would have to go on YouTube. I can't show you because this is a podcast. I do have videos that show how I wrap my shemagh, but in Arizona, out in the Sonoran Desert, I wear it often because I want to keep my hair nice and I want to keep my skin nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to just, what was it last year? Remember last year we had like 3 days where there was this enormous amount of wind. Well, you can't just sit in your, I can't just sit in my minivan.
No.
So I actually put my chemise on and I had everything covered. I had my hands, I had gloves on, and I actually went for a walk. The wind was fierce, but I went for a walk because I had to get out and get some exercise.
Sure. It can be done. And to have wind like that over the course of 3 days in a row is very rare. Thankfully, usually it's a one-day event, and it happens, and it's gone, and now we're looking to tomorrow and the rest of the week, if the weatherman is correct in his or her forecast, are supposed to be just 5 to 10 miles an hour winds and temperatures in the low 70s, so it's going to be a beautiful week.
But Arizona is known for wind, and they just are. Yeah. And, well, we also are going to be dealing with water and moisture, and the lack of moisture can be devastating to your skin as well.
Very, very important. You bet.
Yeah.
If you're going to come out and join us on the Facebook group get together in late January, early February, water is very important. You should bring containers, and you can refill water in town, which is about 6 miles away, very close. You can refill water in there for 25 cents a gallon. It's very reasonable. It's very tasty, very good water. Doesn't have a mineral taste or anything. It's not just yucky well water. It's delicious water. But you need to drink a lot of water. And then you need to protect your skin in other ways, too, with whether that's lotions, sunblock, sunscreen.
Yes.
I use sunscreen. Lee, you don't go for that anymore, isn't that right?
Well, it's got a lot of chemicals in it. You have to wait 15 minutes before you go out in the sun, which does tell you that it's got to absorb into your skin. So a lot of people are going now for the sunblock. It's a mineral sunblock. It's a derivative of the zinc oxide, what the lifeguards, but they've learned a way that you can... I don't know what they've done to it, but...
Dilute it, kind of?
Well, they've done something to it with the molecules of it so that it spreads easier and it's a thinner. It just sort of lays on the top of your skin. It can leave your skin a little white, but it's not. You've seen me. I don't walk around with white skin or anything.
No, not at all.
But it does block the sun out, and you don't have to wait. And you only need to apply it once, whereas sunscreen, you have to reapply it every couple of hours.
Well, of course, sunblock, as the name implies, it is blocking the ultraviolet rays that are coming down from the sun.
Right.
And that's why with sunscreen, you should reapply it every few hours because it needs to be rejuvenated, so to speak.
Well, we have to drink a lot of water. You have to drink water because the air will... suck you dry.
Yep.
It'll suck all the moisture out of your skin. I find myself having to put on lotion in the morning and in the evening, whereas before I really never had to do that. But I've been using it twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even in the afternoon, I've replied. It feels dry, like in an area. So.
And fellas, today I use lotion on my legs and my arms. It's not that I'm worried about having nice looking legs or anything like that, but it helps to moisturize and keep that wind from sucking all that moisture out of you.
Yeah.
It helps a great deal.
Well, you've got nice legs there, Paul. So.
Well, thank you very much. Oh.
So as far as water... I have a question, Paul.
Yeah?
If there's animals out here, because there's coyotes out here, where do they get water?
Well, we found out that coyotes, I mean, there are no, in the summertime when the monsoons are happening, of course, there's water out here. But in the wintertime, it's very, very, very dry. And the coyotes get their water or moisture from animals that they eat and from some of the vegetation that they eat.
Yeah.
They get moisture out of that too.
So they're omnivores. They eat both animal and plant. Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then they can also dig down type tree. Mesquite trees. They can also dig down and hopefully find water at the base of some of those trees.
Yeah. go down to the taproot of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is that we understand that coyotes just don't need a lot of water. They're just the way they're built, I guess.
I read that a kit fox, which they are out here, that they don't need water at all.
Hmm.
They don't need any water whatsoever. Their bodies obviously adapted.
Yeah.
To not having a lot of water.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, we mentioned coyotes.
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit about them. So let's talk about some of the other things that people here are out in the desert.
Yeah.
Things that you want to be aware of, but not necessarily afraid of. But coyotes, first of all, you need to be smart. You need to think about it. Something happened here about a week ago. I had some errands to run in town. So I put my dog, Abby, in the van with me, and we drove off into town and left Lee here by herself. I like to hang a trash bag on the exterior mirror of my vehicle. Well, of course, I didn't want to drag that with me into town, so I took it off my mirror and set it on the ground close to where I parked and headed off into town. Well, Lee, tell us what happened while I was gone running my errands.
Well, I was going to wash my hair in my minivan, which I do very well. And I thank goodness I didn't get started, and I looked out, and there was a coyote, a very well-fed one, I might add, kind of stalking around the bush around us, about 50 feet from us. And so I, like, peeked out. I got my a camera, and I filmed him walking around. He saw me looking. He is looking at me, and I was looking at him, and we were both looking at each other. And it looked like he was kind of doing a little spraying around, you know, putting his scent around. I don't know. I think I barked a couple of times. At him. You know, I wasn't afraid of him. And finally, he gave me like a head nod, I swear he did. He kind of like, you know, like, hey, what's up, you know? And he just nodded his chin up, and he finally then went away. I kind of banged a little bit on the hood of my van and just let him know, like, don't come back, you know? You're cute, but... So I got the filming of it, and I showed it to Paul when he came back, and yeah, it was a great experience. But it was at 2:30 in the afternoon, so you usually do not, even in town where there's coyotes, they're in urban settings big time these days. They're not out walking around at 2:30, so he definitely, I think, was going for your garbage.
Yeah, he was a scout, right?
Yeah.
And as one of my sons like to say, who has done a lot of hunting in coyote territory out west, he said they're opportunistic scavengers. And he probably smelled that bag of trash that I had unthinkingly left on the ground when I went into town. So he was checking it out. I don't know if he was sent out as a scout from his pack or why he would be out at 2:30 in the afternoon or whatever time it was, but he certainly was. And that video is available on YouTube on Lee's, what was the name of the...
Well, the name of the video is called One Morning and One Night.
Okay.
Where it's sort of like I filmed like a day of things that we did. Now, I do want to mention that night we had a campfire.
Oh, yeah.
And we were... So the bottom line is we've been watched because we're off season out here. We're pretty much isolated out here right now. And it's not really the season. We wanted to come here a little early and enjoy before all the big RVs come and the Class A's with their generators and blah, blah, blah. But there was, right, I wasn't, but another 50 feet from us. And we heard a coyote talking to whoever wanted to hear it. It wasn't just a howl. It was, you know, he was doing some language.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sort of, ooh, and you had to come in and get the flashlight. We had to put Abby in. He was very close.
That's something to keep in mind, folks. At, 5:30, 6 o'clock, come January, February, it gets dark. And when I say dark, unless there's a pretty good-sized moon in the sky, if it's that time of moon cycle, It is black out here. So don't forget to bring good flashlight and other forms of lighting with you, because you're going to need it. But so what all we had was the campfire burning, and I must say it was a little bit eerie to hear that.
But it was close.
Oh, it was close.
It was just over in a bush, just, you know, like if I could have walked over there within like 3 minutes.
Oh. Less than that,
yeah.
Sure.
So, yeah, coyotes, one coyote, but you did say your son said that there's never been, that he knows of, an incident where a coyote attacked a human being.
Right.
But what are they going for?
Well, dogs, and especially small dogs, smaller than my dog, fortunately. I mean, we've had people tell us that they're interested in my dog, who's about 65 pounds. Abby is a pretty good sized dog. I don't know if I'd call her large, but she's medium to large. And one person said, well, they might come and get your dog and make her a part of the pack. Well, thinking of Abby as a part of a coyote, a pack of coyotes, is kind of comical, but you got to be careful. So I'd keep your dogs on a leash and keep an eye on your dogs as well. Especially if it's a smaller dog that these coyotes could come up and take and do it in short order. That would not be good at all.
Yeah. Well, in town, in Tucson, and they're all over, but because I lived in Tucson for a very long time, over the past maybe 10 years, there's been a huge influx of coyotes living in town. I mean, midtown, near the university, and yeah. So they're there, and they have devastated the land and eaten cats and dogs. They stripped of the land of bunnies. We used to have so many bunnies before they came, and quail. They're wily. They work in packs. I had a neighbor that said that she was walking her small dog. She had a small dog, and she walked around the alley, and she could see one at the other end, and there was one coming. They were trying to trap her and her dog. So she knew, she sensed that right away, and she kind of picked it up and took it home. So, but they're not going to hurt us, but still be aware if you're out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what else is out here?
Well, there are some other interesting creatures out here. Like everyone loves a nice spider. like a black widow or a brown recluse. Or a tarantula, big, hairy, black tarantula. I was fortunate enough, 2 years ago, I guess it was, to see a tarantula. And in 3.5 years that I've spent at different times out here in the desert, I've seen one tarantula. And as it works out, a tarantula is really not something you have to be worried about. They'll only bite if they are feeling threatened. So unless you're going to pick the thing up and let him crawl over your head, which is something I personally would never do, but some people do, and if that tarantula feels threatened, you may have a little problem. But other than that, tarantulas, even though they can be, I think this one that I saw was about the size, the body was about the size of my fist, something like that, and I saw it just walking across a dirt road to a place close by where I was camping. So I was really happy that I saw it. It was very cool. But for these other things, like a black widow or a brown recluse, the chances of seeing something like that are very, very slim.
Not out here. I think they like to be in sort of urban areas or out in like where there's homes where they can kind of hide in the wood or in corners in your garages, things like that, where they can. Out here, I just don't, it's too open out here, I think, for even a wonderful little delicious black widow spider, you
right,
know?
Right.
It's too much out here.
Another thing that you need to be aware of, and maybe even more than a spider, is the scorpion. If you're out here, and a lot of people, including Lee, like to use the many, many, many rocks that are out here in the desert and move them around and make designs or border their campsite area and so forth. And a couple of years ago, I was talking to the campground host, and he was saying that a woman had stopped to tell him that she was moving rocks, and she picked one up, and lo and behold, there was a scorpion under that rock. And she said that was quite surprising. So be aware of that kind of thing. You've just got to be smart and think about what you're doing, because those things, although a scorpion sting wouldn't kill you, it can certainly hurt very much, and you're going to have a sore hand, finger, leg, whatever, for a few days afterwards. So it pays to be careful.
There is a fatal scorpion called the bark scorpion. They're very small. And I'm sure they're out here somewhere, but they do tend to hide, because they're so small, they tend to hide a little bit more.
Okay.
So, but you still have to be careful. Bring work gloves, whether it's big, you know, the big, like the tradesmen wear the big leather gloves. But they have those wonderful work gloves now, like you wear in warehouses, and you can buy them in all the stores, and they fit really nice on your hand. They're thick. They have a rough edge to them where your palm is and your fingers. And they even have some now that you can still use a device. They have some of those work gloves, so you can use your phone.
Okay.
That's really cool. But yeah, you want to, I keep a pair of those gloves on my chair. There's a little pocket that you can put a drink in my chair. And I keep those there if I'm going to go pick up rocks, things like that.
Good idea.
The Gia monster is poisonous and can be fatal. And they walk around at night. So if you're out here camping, your best bet is to make sure that when you go out of your rig, that you have shoes on or boots, preferably, and maybe have lighting so you see where you're stepping. When you talked about lighting, Paul, one good thing to have if you're a nomad, or get yourself a good headlamp, because you might have things in your hands, especially if you're going to a group campfire and you're going to be bringing your chair back and maybe your drinks or whatever. It's good to have a headlamp so that you have your hands free, but you need to be able to see you're going, because there is a Gia monsters out here, and I've never seen one, but they're here and they will bite. They're lizards, and they can kill you.
Yeah, they're very serious. I've never seen one either, thankfully, and
yeah,
it would be okay with me if I never do see one.
Yeah, it might be kind of cool to see it from afar and say, oh, you know, there's a Gia monster, you know.
True.
So as far as the actual soil goes, it's a very hard soil out here. So if you're going to put up a tent, or maybe even bigger RVs have these rugs that they carry with them, and to put it out in front so they have something to sit on and put their chairs on. But you still want to anchor them down. So they call the ground caliche, because it's almost cement-like, because it's so dry. You need spikes that are, they're metal, and they're almost like huge, long nails.
Definitely, definitely want metal, not plastic tent stakes.
Yeah.
Because this ground, if you try to pound those in, quite often you're just going to break plastic stake. It's just not going to work. So
yeah.
The kind that Lee's talking about are long, and they're metal, and they're, like she said, like a huge nail. And they'll go through this stuff and secure whatever it is you're trying to hold down.
Yeah, it's fun to be out here. I mean, it's gorgeous. And at night, oh my gosh, out in the desert, you're at night. I mean, we're looking up and we can see almost every star. Because I will mention, in Arizona, they're huge on telescoping. And there's these huge telescopes. People in Arizona, this is the place to do most of your stargazing. So you're going to see so many stars at night. It's phenomenal. It's just gorgeous.
Do you know offhand what that app is that you recommended to me?
Sky Guide.
Sky Guide.
Yes.
To use that, it's free. I would highly recommend that. If you're interested in stargazing and you think, oh, like right now, I'm looking basically west, I believe it is. Yeah.
Yes.
And I see this very bright star in the sky. Well, last week I first saw that thing and I thought, what is that? Lee got out that app and she looked it up, pointed her phone at that, and said, oh, that's the planet Venus. And that's so cool to be able to identify these things, the Milky Way, and the, what are they called, like the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, those kinds of things. And then just all kinds of stars. But
Well, we got Jupiter and Saturn surrounding the moon.
Yep.
A couple of days ago.
It's just very, very beautiful. Actually, we have a couple of beach chairs that will lay all the way back. The back of the chair lays all the way back, and that's specifically for stargazers, so that you can lay back and you don't have to crick your neck by looking up all the time. You can just lay straight back and look at all the stars, and they're gorgeous. And then the sunsets, goodness. Oh, yeah. Every day it's a different beautiful sunset and sunrise. I love the sunsets, but I love sunrises too. I love to see the sunrise in the east and see it hit those mountains way out there to the west of us. And I love it when the sun comes up in the morning, because it starts to warm things up too, which is very nice.
So I'd like to mention, there's going to be, come January and February is the season out here. We're just a little bit early right now, trying to enjoy the quiet out here before the calm before the storm. But a lot of you might think, well, I'm going to rent maybe a Class C or something like that. But, you know, my name is Minnie Van Lee, and I am one of the leaders in teaching people how to live in a minivan. Even if you just want to camp and use a minivan for camping, you can take the seats out of that and put some bins in there with what you need and come on out and enjoy the season out here in January and February.
Oh, it'd be fantastic. And maybe regret it, I know.
Take some vacation time. Don't just do it in the summer, but do it in the winter and come on out and see what's going on out here.
Sure.
Because Quartzsite is a pretty groovy, little teeny weeny little town, but they've sort of rolled out the red carpet. Somebody had the brains to organize that up. They roll out the red carpet, and they pretty much, well, the town thrives. Just in 3 months' time, they can pretty much get the income that they need for the whole year.
Right.
Yeah. Because it is busy. The restaurants are busy. The laundromat is hopping. I mean, everything is just hopping here in this little town of Quartzsite.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're doing an advertisement for Quartzsite.
It does sound that way.
I know it, and we're not getting any commission off this either.
Well, we've talked a lot about the wind and the hard surface of the soil and the rock, poisonous critters that are here or there in the desert. But you know what? This is a beautiful, beautiful place. I love it here. When you look all the way around, you can see these beautiful mountains. You have beautiful sunrises and sunsets. It's just a wonderful place to get away from snow, if you're a snow person. Get away from snow and cold weather for a while and enjoy the stars and all the beauty that the desert has to offer. It's really magnificent.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening, and we just love you guys and our friends out there. I'm sure we have new friends every week that have joined our family here with the podcast, and to all our family out there. So I just want to thank you, and please subscribe to Minnie Van Lee on YouTube channel. And if you want to really get into it, join us on Facebook too on Minnie Van Lee's This Nomad Life. And Paul is a moderator there. We've got a couple moderators, and you're very integral in that.
Yes. Well, thank you.
And if you want to learn how to live in a minivan, I have the book, How to Live in a Minivan by the Minivan Lee Way, and it's on Amazon. I'm pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
That's
just
for
look
sure.
For, go on Amazon and look for Minivan Lee. I also have a Amazon storefront for, and all the products are there that I use and that have used and that I have. They're tried and true.
And I found that very helpful. I've used that list myself.
Yes. So thank you for listening, everyone.
We'll talk to you next Friday. Until then, be cool.